Morning. Today's daf in, but Mitzia is daf pay. Thank the Lupin Foundation for sponsorship of the daf. Daf is long as Zecher Nishmas Libra, Gabriela Bashmuel. We find ourselves today on Ayin Testament Base and a continuation of rental contracts. We're talking here in the sixth paragraph of Mitzia of employment contracts and of rental contracts. We are talking about renting a boat. So let's begin. Tanur Rabbanan, the four lines down from the top of the Amud, Ayin Testament Base. Zecher Shesfino, Parkala Bechatzia Derech. So you rent a boat, and again, the rental over here, the rental agreement, is to get from point A to point B. And on top of that, Rashi points out to carry a load. And we weren't specific about the load. Remember yesterday's daf, we ended off with talking about the rental agreement on the boat, where much of the halachic consideration was whether we talked about this boat, a boat, whether we talked about this wine, some wine, or a wine. Okay, whatever. Anyway, so the so you're renting a boat, and then halfway there, the renter now basically says, okay, I'm good. And you only make it halfway to where your destination was. The rental agreement was to get from point A to point B. You only went half the way, so you only used half usage. So the Braisa says, so you only pay your half the rental, and you turn to the owner and you say, okay, yeshar koach, thank you very much. I really appreciate it. That was great. Now the owner is obviously going to be a little bit upset with you because he expected a full rental based on the full rental agreement, based on the fact that you were supposed to go from A to B, and you only made it halfway. So, but he only has a complaint, says the Braisa. So obviously we need to understand this. If the rental agreement was that you're going to go from A to B, and you only went half, and you only said, look, a half usage, half rent. So I can imagine that the owner is going to be more than just upset. He might have a financial claim. And that's where we go in the Gemara. Hey, Chidami, the Gemara says, let's get some more details here. Now, if it happens to be that somewhere at this midway point we're talking about, there's an actual juncture, station, port. So it's very easy now for the owner to rent it out from that point going forward. So then, not he shouldn't even have a complaint. And if the renter who stopped midway left the owner high and dry with no other rental opportunity, I can easily imagine that the owner's going to say to the renter, no, that's not right. You got to pay me. You wanted to go from A to B, and you left me in a place where I can't rent it out again? No, that's unacceptable. Financially unacceptable, not just a taramas, not just a complaint. So the Gemara says, so really at this point in time, we don't understand the braisa. Where is this middle ground where the owner can have a complaint, but not a financial claim? So the Gemara says, so the Gemara says, okay, we're talking about a case where at the midway juncture, there's another opportunity for the owner to rent out the boat. So the Gemara says, and if that's true, so then what complaint can he have against the renter? So the Gemara says, Mishum Rafsasa Desfinasa. So the Gemara says, well, the complaint could be as follows. Every time you stop the boat, disembark, unload, load new people on, so it's going to be a wear and tear on the boat. So the Gemara says, wear and tear is a financial discussion. So the Gemara says, if that's true, so then the owner once again has more than just a taramis, more than just a complaint. The owner has now a financial claim. So Ella my parker the parker to une begava. So the Gemara says, okay, so we're going to have to really reset the braisa and work on our understanding of the braisa. The braisa did not mean that you stopped halfway and left the boat. What the braisa meant is that you stopped midway in order to pick up more cargo. And then we're going to have to change our original assumption. Our original assumption was you paid for a certain amount of cargo. So it must be that in this rental contract, the only thing that in the rental agreement was to get from point A to point B to take my cargo. And unspecific in terms of the amount of cargo. So you stop halfway in order to pick up more cargo. So the Gemara says, Alamai Tairamas. So the Gemara says, okay. Now, but again, certainly there's no financial claim, but why should there even be a complaint? The owner agreed that he was going to rent out the boat with cargo to go from A to B. He stopped midway in order to pick up more cargo. Shouldn't even be a complaint from the owner. So the Gemara says, Shinu Daita. So the Gemara says, okay, I'll tell you where there's room for complaining. As if the Gemara needs to... to give us a reason. But I'll tell you where there's room for complaining. One, says the Gemara, is shinoi daite, meaning it wasn't a clear communication between the renter and the owner. The renter gave the owner the impression that we're going to make two stops from A and B, and we weren't going to make a stop in the middle, and that's a shinoi das. And that took him for a loop, and he can register a complaint, the owner, that is. Inami lashle seira, or the Gemara says like this, more rope. Once the boat gets now heavier, so as Rashi explains, so now when you bring the boat ashore, so it's the boat's going to sink deeper in the water, and you're going to have to dock further out there. So that means now that you're going to actually need longer rope. So interesting that this does not fall under the category of a financial complaint. This is just a tyrom, this is just a register complaint, but the Gemara says that, for extra rope, that's what that's why the owner can lodge a complaint. A formal complaint. Tana Rabbanan. So, let's say you're hiring a donkey for transportation, for you. You're going to ride the donkey. So now, so as far as the renter is concerned, so what is he entitled to load onto the animal? So again, if you want to make the rental contract from fresh, so then you can contract whatever you want to contract. What the Bryce over here is giving us is the basic guidelines of what a standard rental of a donkey is going to entail. So the renter can be expected to put on his clothing. So from the renter standpoint, so he can bring basically food and clothing. That's a fair expectation for him to load onto the donkey, and that's fine. Right? You think about the airplanes now, when what you can and cannot bring onto the plane. Okay, and basically that's the conversation we're having. So mikan ve'elech. So the Gemara says, but that from that point going forward, chamar ma'akev alav. So the donkey driver can now say, and who presumably is the owner as well, but basically now you say to the renter, that's it. Meaning you can't bring any more on board. That's, I understand the food, the clothing, but that's it. Now, chamar meiniach alav, so arim v'tevim mazono shel osto hayom. Now, as far as the donkey driver is concerned, so he could bring food, but hay for the animal, but only for a daily portion, even though this trip is going to take a lot more than one day. To which the Gemara wonders. And from that point going forward, the renter says, okay. In other words, you can't bring any more, meaning you're only entitled to one day's worth of food. Now, the Gemara says, now, if you think about it, the question's pretty obvious. Meaning, as far as the renter's concerned, he could bring food for the entire trip. As far as the driver's concerned, so he can only bring food for one day. Okay, so the Gemara says, Echidami, Ida shchiach lemizban chamar nami la'akev, Vida shchiach lemizban socha nami lo le'akev. Well, are there stops along the way or they're not? Are we going down, you know, a major highway where we could stop at a gas station and pick up some food? So don't understand. So both of them should only be entitled to a ration, a daily food ration. And if we're going on a trip where there are no stops along the way, so then both of them should be able to bring food for the entire journey. So the Gemara says, so I don't get it. So the Gemara says that we're talking about, yes, there are inns along the way, but we're not talking about a major destination point that's in the middle. We're talking about, you know, a bed and breakfast, if I can try to give an analogy. So, you see the truck driver, right, the donkey driver, so for him, this is life. Meaning, life for him is, I go in, I buy, even though it's not, we're not talking about a store, we're not talking about easy merchandise, easy market, we're talking about something where you have to barter a little bit. But the driver, that's his life. So from his standpoint, it's expected that he's going to buy food along the way. Mashenke, when it comes to the passenger, the renter, so he doesn't know the area. He doesn't know the people. This is not just a simple market. So for him, he's entitled to bring food for the entire journey. Tana Rabbanan, the Gemara quotes another brisa. Hasocha sechamor lekovalav ish, lo tekovalai isha. So if, let's say you rented out, but it was understood between renter and owner that a man was going to ride the donkey, so you can't substitute the man with a woman. Now, a little bit hard to understand over here. I mean, we're going to get to weight considerations in just a moment. But generally speaking, if the chamor was good for a man, generally speaking, so then for sure it'd be fine for a woman. And the Braisa says no. The Braisa says that if the understanding was is that a man was going to ride it, so then a woman cannot ride it. Isha rochevala ish. However, if the contract agreement was that a woman was going to ride it, so then a man could be a fair substitute for a woman. Okay, now Rashi over here doesn't explain the rationale behind this. So what's coming out of my mouth from this point going forward is mere speculation. Take it, leave it, it's fine by me. I just want to say something in the Gemara to understand this. So it could very well be that the man is just simply more accustomed to riding an animal. And so a woman is less accustomed, and perhaps she's sitting side saddle as opposed to saddling up. It could be. In other words, what I'm basically suggesting is that it's a more comfortable position for a man to ride the animal, and so if you're taking the man away and you're substituting a woman, even though a woman is less in weight, but still the awkward nature of the woman riding the animal may be a little bit of a strain on the animal. If you started off with accepting a woman to be the passenger in the animal, so then you could substitute it with a man. That's my suggestion. Okay. Now, Isha ben Gedola ben Ketana. So when it comes to a woman, so once there's the agreement to accept a woman onto the donkey, so then it doesn't matter if the woman is... Now, literally, Gedola and Ketana mean an adult versus... Not literally, but generally it means an adult versus a child. In this context, it seems like it's talking about size. Meaning, once there's an acceptance for it to allow a woman on, so then size doesn't matter. So, and even if she is pregnant, even if she's nursing. Now, the evens should really have been switched around. Meaning, it should be even if she's nursing, even if she's pregnant. Right? Understood that a pregnant woman is going to be, obviously, carrying more weight. So, the Gemara says, Hasha menika amart mubaris bein baye. So, that's exactly the Gemara's question. Now, on the Braisa, on that last point of the Braisa, if a nursing woman can ride the donkey, and that was accepted, sorry, let me do that better. If a pregnant woman is allowed on the donkey, so certainly a nursing woman is as well. Amra papa mubaris vihim menika kamar. That last part of the Braisa just meant that she was pregnant and she was nursing. Normally the two don't go hand in hand, but we're just making the point that once there's an allowance, an acceptance, an agreement that a woman's going to ride, it doesn't matter what stage of life she's in, and if she's carrying more weight, and we're talking biological weight, a baby, nursing, even if both. It doesn't matter. That, in other words, it was agreed upon. Abaye says just one last lesson we can learn from this, and that is when you buy a fish, and the fish seems very large in the center, meaning it's got a very big stomach. So that weight, takla means weight. That weight is represented by the stomach, meaning that, and Rashi points out, this is Rashi's explanation, meaning don't buy the fish per weight as is. Because a lot of that weight is going to be represented by the stomach. So first gut the fish. I even suggest filleting it, but that's just my fishing experience. And then pay for it by that. But in other words, don't pay for the stomach. You're just paying for things that you're not going to end up eating. So l'may nafkamina l'mekach ha'memkar, and the Gemara says, and that'll be your commercial lesson of the day. It won't be our last one of the day, but that is your buying fish lesson of the day. We now turn to the top of Daf Pei. Start with the Mishnah. Socher Sapar Lachrosh Bahar V'Charash Bebika. You're renting a cow in order to do plowing in your field. Okay, a couple things over here just before we go further in the Mishnah, and that is the first Rashi on the Mishnah, the first Rashi on the Amud. So Rashi says that generally speaking, when you are renting a cow for plowing, so you're renting cow and equipment and two people as well. One person, says Rashi, is going to be leading the animal, and the second person is going to be behind holding the actual plow. Take a look at the top Rashi. So you're renting cow, equipment, labal habakar, v'nara v'ochin min behemto, and also two people as well. Ze'ochaz hadarban, l'chavein para, l'talmeh, one is going to be holding the goad in order to direct the animal down the furrow. V'zeh ha'olechachar ha'machresha, u'machbid hayateid b'karka, sheba'abar zu shekorim kolter. V'hu kankan demas nisen. and the other person is going to be behind holding the plow and making sure that it is, he's going to be applying weight so that it goes into the ground in order to till the earth. So this is all part of the agreement. Now your rental agreement allowed you to plow even in the mountain. Mountain is rockier, and it is certainly going to be more risky from the standpoint of breaking the plow. Once the rental agreement allows you license to plow on the mountain, certainly the Beka would not be a problem whatsoever. That's softer ground, so you can extend the rental to plowing the ground, the Beka as well. In Mishbar Kankan Patr. Now, if the Kankan breaks, so you're going to be exempt, because Machmas Malachta, meaning this is part of the job. And the rental agreement allowed you to plow on the mountain, so therefore, if it breaks during either mountain or valley plowing, you're going to be fine. Bebika v'charosh bahar, but let's go the other direction. Let's say the rental agreement only allows you to plow in the valley, and then you took it up the mountain and you plowed the mountainside, so in Nishbar Kankan Chayev, so now you're going to be Chayev. And the reason why you're going to be Chayev is because you went above the rental agreement. The rental agreement only allowed you to plow in the Bika, not in the mountain, and so therefore your usage of it is unauthorized, and therefore you're going to be liable. Let's say you were given license where the rental agreement allowed you to do disha. We're now talking about threshing. So you were threshing, you, and the rental agreement allowed you to thresh beans, and now you could use it even for wheat as well, or for grain as well. However, not the opposite. Ladosh betvua v'dosh bekitnis chayim mimnei shakitnis mechalakis. Not in the other direction, because generally speaking, beans are smoother and slippery. And so, if the rental agreement only allowed you to thresh a grain, so that doesn't give you the right to thresh beans. It is a more dangerous, more hazardous affair. And if the animal were to slip, fall, and hurt or damage itself, so then you're going to be liable because you went above and beyond what was authorized in the rental agreement. Starting the Gemara. Now, Gemara just wonders, as we pointed out in the Mishnah, generally speaking, when you rent a cow, you're renting two people that come along with the cow, and they're part of the rental agreement. In general, the Gemara just wants to now know. If, let's say, these two people are not, or just simply independent workers, but in other words, hired, and the one is leading and the other one is applying pressure to the plow, and it breaks. Whose fault is that? The leader, the one who's directing the animal, the driver, or I should say in this case, the director, or the one in the back actually applying pressure to the plow. So, Delo Shani Ba Man Mishalim. And the Lo Shani Lan just simply says, Rashi explains, that just simply means that there was no deviation like we described in the Mishnah, and meaning we were authorized to plow on the mountain. So that wasn't the issue. The issue just simply is that right now one of the workers is responsible, and which one of the two is going to be responsible. So, Amar Papa Danaki Parsha Mishalim, and Rav Shisha Bered Ravada Amar Danaki Mana Mishalim. So the Gemara brings down a machlokas, whether it's the one who was driving the animal, whether it was the one who was holding the plow. Rashi explains. The one driving the animal, says Rashi, is going to be held accountable by virtue of the fact that he's seeing where the animal is going. It's his job to direct it straight and narrow down the furrow and not to go over rocks. If it went over a rock, so that was a driver problem. So therefore, the driver is going to be held accountable. On the other hand, says Rashi, if you want to defend the other position, the one who is holding the actual plow itself, applying pressure, putting it into the ground, so obviously he put too much pressure on. So the other position would say that it's the other person who was actually holding down the plow. So the Gemara here concludes, the guy in the back holding the plow, he's the one who's going to be held financially responsible. Now, if it's a place where there's a lot of rocks, and so even though the halach is that generally we fault the person holding the plow, if there are many rocks, so then we are going to share the responsibility, the burden of responsibility between both the person in the front and the person in the back, the one directing and the one holding the plow. Now, it's an interesting Rashi over here, very interesting, where Rashi says, Rashi Dibra Maskal Tavai Mishamim. So Rashi says, I'm reading the Rashi, Shaya only Lizar Ma'od. Over here, if we're talking about very rocky terrain, both of them should have been very carefully. Both of them should have been very careful. Uvedavra Muat Shivos Afamanik Hunishbar. And for just a little bit of maneuvering away from the path, so then we can fault the driver as well. V'havedavar hamuta basafik. Now, it's an interesting Rashi. Rashi says, we're not really sure who's at fault over here. Did the driver direct the animal properly? Did the person in the back apply too much weight? So we're not really sure. So it's mamon hamuta basafik. So since we're not sure, we're going to share the burden of responsibility. Probably bothers you, bothers Tosfos, second Tosfos on the Amud. Well, if we are not sure who's at fault, what do we normally say about mamon hamuta basafik? So there is an opinion of Simchus that says mamon hamuta basafik cholkin. That's to be divided. We don't follow the opinion of Simchus. We follow the opinion of the Chachamim. That if it's a doubt whether or not I owe money, well, we generally say hamotzi mechaver ala varaya. So now, if Rashi's explanation is right and we don't know, so then the conclusion shouldn't be both be liable. The conclusion should be neither of them should be liable. Tosfos asks this very question. So, Perish Bekunshus, second Tosfos. Perish Bekunshus, Mishim Davi Safik. So, Mi Asa, the Einira. Tosfos says, I don't think this pshat is correct. The Lo Kaimel and Kisimchas El Karabanam, was the Chaver El Avaraya. The Avis Safik, Avishnein Peturim. They both should be exempt. A wonderful question. Elanir Elisa Tosa says, so I think the Pshat goes like this. Da'achashneim Pashu. So they were both being Poshea, says Tosos. Kevin de Machzaka Begundari. Again, it's a very treacherous terrain. So who Nishbar Ma'od Bikal? It's very easy for it to break. Therefore, they were both responsible to be very super careful. And not only do they need to be careful for themselves and their work, but this is a real teamwork scenario. So I have to not only look at what I'm doing, but I have to look at what he's doing as well. And therefore, if it's a shared effort, it's shared responsibility. And because I wasn't mazir him, and because we didn't have good teamwork today, so therefore, we're both going to be responsible for the damage that's done. Yeah. That's Rabbi Meir. And that was just to explain the discrepancy between lines 1 and 2 of the previous Mishnah. So, and I'll assume, although I could have articulated this better, but I'll assume that from that point going forward, the Mishnah is not representing Shita's Rabbi Meir. So, but yes, Rabbi Meir says any deviation would immediately, effectively disqualify the contract, the rental contract. But certainly in the last Mishnah, however, you saw that the Mishnah mentioned the sheet of Rameir, and then the Mishnah went on to the sheet of the Chachamim. So, again, Mistaber, it's logical, because once you're allowing in this rental contract to go over more hazardous ground, so certainly you can go over smoother ground. I mean, it certainly makes sense. Back to the Gemara. Amar Rabbi Yochanan. Hamocher paro lechaver, v'amar lo paro zu, nachanis hi, nashanis hi, batnais hi, ravtsanis hi. So over here you have an owner who is really prepared to give full disclosure as to the nature of this animal. The animal gores, the animal bites, the animal kicks, and the animal squats down right in the middle of the work. Okay? Sounds appealing. You want to rent it? Now, I guess the person is in need. It's okay. Fine, I'll take it. So, v'haya ba'mum acher, sorry, I read it wrong. V'haya ba'mum echad usnafo b'namumim. So now the truth of the matter is that the owner actually maligned the animal. The animal did do one of these behaviors, but not all four of these behaviors. So interestingly, says Rav Yochanan, this is considered a mekach chaos. It's considered like a misrepresentation. Now, it is, I'll tell you why it's interesting. I'm sorry, how is a mekach chaos? It's a mekach chaos. It's interesting because it's not like renter beware. Renter was given a lot of warning. Okay, he was overwarned, right? The owner of the animal maligned his own animal. But it's interesting because it's not like he wasn't given information. He was given too much information or excessive information. But why should that be considered mekach taos? Rashi explains, because once you are now giving qualities, poor qualities about the animal that are not true. So now imagine, the renter sees this animal, and I was told that the animal kicks. Animal's not kicking. I was told the animal squats. Animal's not squatting. You know what? I now know that the information I'm giving is just simply bad information. So now you simply don't trust any of the information that's given to you. And then the animal bites. Well, what just happened? Right. I know I was told it was going to bite, but I was also told it was going to kick. Didn't kick. I didn't expect it to bite. So once you're given misinformation, even though you could have made the argument that, well, you were told to be cautious, yeah, but I was also given wrong information. And that allows the renter now to say to the owner, you misinformed me, and therefore it's mekachsos. So ze mekachsos. Mum ze umum acher. Now I read it correctly. Let's say the owner says, you know, it has the following blemish. It kicks. And it does other things as well. But you don't specify. So ein ze mekachsos is not considered mekachsos. Okay, so for a contract law lesson of the day, so in other words, you know, you write and others without specifying, that actually, in this case, that's better. Because now, even if it doesn't have any other blemishes, but you didn't specify any other blemishes, and if it did, well, you covered it. So from a contract law standpoint, this works out better. Tanya Namehach, the Gemara quotes a brisa that is going to support this ruling of Rav Yochanan. Hamokra shivcha lechavero. So we're talking about the sale of a shivcha. Ve'amalo shivcha zu shotahi. Nichpesi. Mishu amemis hi. So again, seller giving now a lot of details regarding the shivcha that he's selling. She is crazy. She is epileptic. She is mishu amemis. Some other.
Seitz just says Meshugaz.
Right, which seems to be synonymous with Shota. Okay? All right, however, in other words, but again, so he's spelling out some details. So, but the truth of the matter is that only one of these really fit her. The other two didn't. This is a mekachsos for the reason that we offered earlier. However, the Braisa says if you specify one blemish and you say and others, so ain't a mekachsos. That's not considered mekachsos. But by misinforming,
by putting the donkey down as a bad deal, so he's just doing it for the purpose of protecting
right.
himself.
Right, and again, I would have started with that thinking as well. But as the Gemara is now teaching us, Rashi's teaching us by misinforming and giving right.
Just start saying may do this or may that, rather than it does.
Right. So Amalei Rav Acha Breida Rav La Rav Ashi Hayuba Kol Amomem Alalu Mahu. Now, what if it had all these blemishes? So there was no misinformation. It's hard to even understand the havamin of this question. Meaning, the owner gave an accurate depiction of all the poor qualities of the animal. So Amalei Rav Mordechai La Rav Ashi Hachemina Mishmei De Rava Hayuba Kol Amomem Alalu Ein Ze Mekachos. It's not a Mekachos. Again, it's kind of hard to even understand what was the give, what was the take, like how did that exchange? What would you have thought otherwise without that exchange?
The Rashi.
Ve'eno makpid ela. I underline the Rashi also. Eino makpid ela ala achad uva v'torno kesav ra'iti she'ata kolalba ma she'ein ba. All right. Okay. Okay. Next Mishnah. We're in the middle of Pam and Aleph. Asochas chamor lavi ala chitim vehevi ala saorin chayev. Okay. We are again going back to the discussion of loading an animal. Okay. Here's what we need to know. We need to know a lot of things, a lot of information to really understand the Mishnah. First of all, barley is lighter than wheat. Okay. Everyone clear about that? Meaning by volume, per volume. Barley becomes is lighter than wheat. Okay. I'll start with reading the Mishnah. The information is going to have to be disclosed at one point or another. So right now, I'll just read the Mishnah, and then as we go along, I'll present the information that we need to know. So, but right now, barley's lighter. That's step one in understanding the Mishnah. So you rent an animal, and you are going to load the animal, or at least the contractual agreement was, you're going to load the animal with wheat, and instead of putting wheat on, you put on barley. Now it's lighter. So, seemingly, you should be fine. The Mishnah says, chayev, you're going to be liable as you put on too much barley. Now, How could that be? How could it be that you're going to substitute the wheat for the barley, and the barley is lighter and you're going to be chayv? So it must be. And Rashi says this, and the Gemara is going to say this, but we're going to speak this out numerically. We're going to actually quantify. It must be that when you put the barley on, you put more barley on. It must be. And with your following rationalization, it's a good one, meaning the barley is lighter. So therefore, I'm entitled to put more volume of barley on, as it's going to be the same weight. Now again, numerically, we're going to spell this out in more detail. But right now, just to wrap our head around the Mishnah must be talking about a case where you put more volume of barley on. Okay, so, and again, we'll speak about how much more you put on. Tvua vehevi ala tavan, so chai mimeshe, hanafach kasha kamasui. And if the contractual agreement is said that you are allowed to put on grain, and instead you put on straw, so you're going to be liable, mimnesha hanafach kasha kamasui. Because now it is more in volume, and that is as difficult as the weight itself. And basically, in this first case in the Mishnah, what we're learning is the following. Weight is an issue, volume is an issue. And the way the Mishnah presents itself is that volume is as much of an issue as weight. So in other words, even though, and again, right now I'm staying away from the numbers, I'll introduce the numbers a little bit later on. Let's assume that as far as weight, everything's equal. But by matching the weight of the barley to the wheat, matching the weight of the straw to the grain, so what you're obviously going to do is increase the volume. And that's bad. Increasing a volume means it's going to be a different distribution of the weight. And so that's just as bad as adding more weight. That is basically what the Mishnah is teaching us. Now, if, let's say, the agreement allowed you to bring a lesech is a volume. It is half of a core. Okay, let's do the numbers. A core is 30 sa'ah. Half of a core is 15 sa'ah. Each saw is made up of 6 kavin, so that means that 15 saws are going to be equivalent to 90 kavin. The Mishnah tells us that if the agreement allowed you to bring a lesech of wheat, and instead you brought a lesech of sa'orim, so here it sounds like from the Mishnah we're talking about equivalent volume, so certainly the weight is going to be less, so it's going to be potter. V'imosef ha'masu chayev. Now, but if you added to the weight, meaning by substituting barley for wheat, and by adding more, so now you're going to be chayev. But, as you can imagine, in other words, how much? V'kama yosef amaso ve'chayev. Now, how much are we adding in order for you to be chayev? Simcha zomer mishum Rabbi Meir, sa'a legamal, shlosha kabin lechamor, it's going to be 3 kab for a donkey. A full sa'a, 6 kabin for the camel. We're going to focus on the donkey because our numbers that we're going to be working with is a donkey. So, How much should we load on the donkey in terms of volume? So we said half a core, which is 15 saw. 15 saw is equivalent to 90 kabin. When we're talking now about how much extra is added in order to be an overload and disqualify the rental agreement, so we said the Mishnah ended off by saying the number 3 kabin. So we're looking now at a ratio of 3 to 90. 3 to 90 is a ratio of 1 to 30. So basically now, if you exceed the volume by anything greater than the ratio of 1 to 30, so now you have overloaded and you have disqualified the contract. So our number that we need to walk away from this Mishnah is the ratio of 1 to 30 as being overload, as being considered exceeding the weight limit. Or in this case, I should say better, the volume limit. Now, Itmar. Okay, now we're going to go even deeper into the numbers. Abai Amar Kasha Kamasui Tanan, Rav Amar Kasha Li Masui Tanan. You go over the Mishnah again, and you'll see in the third line of the Mishnah, so we had the words, Mimnesha Anafach Kasha Ki Masui. So in the Mishnah, we said that when it talks about the excess volume is as bad as weight. So here the Amoraim argue in terms of what the correct girsa of the Mishnah is. Is it kimasui or is it limasui? Now, what's the difference going to be if you say kimasui or if you say limasui? Rashi explains. And before we get to Rashi. So, Abai Amar Kasha Kimasui Tanan. Abai is of the opinion that the extra volume is as bad as the extra weight. Nafcha Kitakla. And according to Abaye, once you are adding the volume, extra volume is just as bad, is just like extra weight. So once you exceed volume, it's as bad as weight. V'i mosif shoshakabim chayev. Which means now that according to Abaye, once you add 3 kabin extra, so now that is the ratio that we saw back in the Mishnah. So now you took out the wheat, you substitute with barley. The wheat was a half a kor, 15 sa'ah, 90 kabin. So once you add 3, so according to Abaye, so now you have exceeded. The Rava Amar Kasha Limasuitanan Takla Kitakla Venafcha Have Tosefes. As far as weight is concerned, so the weights are going to be equal and the volume is going to be extra. Now, comes out like this. Okay, now let's go over the Mishnah if you are Rabaye or if you are Rava. Okay. You see, here's a basic assumption. When you add 3 kabin to the 90 kabin, which the Mishnah told us are the numbers, so basically what you're doing now is as follows. You're equalizing the weight, but obviously you're adding volume. Once you add more than 3 kabin, so not only are you adding the more volume, but you're also adding weight as well. Okay, now, according to Rava, let's break the Mishnah down according to Rava and according to Abaye. Rava's going to be a little bit more complicated. Let's start with Rava. So the way Rava presents this is as follows. The Mishnah actually is coming in three different sections. Section number one. So let's take a look back at the Mishnah, and I'm going to explain the Mishnah according to Rava. Section number one reads like this. Hasocher esachamor lavi ala chitim ve'evi ala sa'orim chayev. So the Mishnah starts off by saying that you replace the wheat with the barley, and you did so, and you're going to be chayev. Now remember, according to Rava, the right way to read this is li masui. Okay. And it means as follows. An additional sa'a of barley, this is the first case of the Mishnah according to Rava, an additional sa'a of barley was added. An additional sa'a of barley was added, but an additional sa'a was added. I'm going to correct something I said earlier. Three kabin does not equalize the weight. It's a full sa'a that equalizes the weight. Okay, sorry. Okay, sorry. Full saw equalizes the weight. Fine. According to Rava, once you add a full saw on, so now the weights are equal, but there's greater bulk, and as a result of the greater bulk, so therefore you're going to be chayev. Okay, that is section number one of the Mishnah according to Rava. Next section. Lahavi lesech chitim ve'evi lesech sa'orim pater. Okay. What you did here is that you replaced the wheat with the barley, but over here you only replaced it not with a full saw, but with 3 kabin, which is half of a saw. So here now, it's going to obviously be more bulk, but it's less weight. So, pater. Under those circumstances, you would be fine. That would be considered acceptable. And then finally, section number 3, according to Rava, is the last part. So now the last part is talking about adding 3. Now we just said that according to Rava, adding 3 kabin is acceptable. This last part of the Mishnah, as the Gemara will point out, is not talking about where you changed the grain. You kept it as wheat. And therefore, by adding now 3 kabin more, you're adding more weight. And therefore, that disqualifies the rental agreement. So, according to Rava, there are actually 3 parts of the Mishnah. Part number 1 of the Mishnah is telling us that by equalizing the weight, but adding more bulk, disqualifies. Section number 2 tells us that as long as the weight is less, even though there's a little bit more bulk, that's acceptable. And then section number 3 is telling us is that grain is the same, you added more weight, that disqualifies. How much weight do you have to add more? 3 kabin, meaning the ratio of 1 to 30. Mashenken, according to Abaye. According to Abaye, once you add three, you exchange the wheat for barley, you add three kabin, that's it. That already disqualifies. And for Abaye, how do you read the Mishnah? This part's easy. The Mishnah is just talking all about one singular case, according to Abaye. Meaning the Mishnah is there to teach us that. You added three kabin, which didn't equalize the weight, but gave you more bulk. And more bulk is, according to Abaye, just as bad as more weight. Okay. The Gemara is going to spell all this out. The imosif shosha kabin chayiv. Rav amar kashla masu tanan takla kitakla v'navcha haveso tosefes tanan. And now everything I just said, the Gemara is going to spell it out. Tanan, we learned in the Mishnah. Lavi lasechitim vevis lasechzor and potter. V'imosif amaso chayiv. So my lav shloshes kabin. So how much did you add? Presumably, like the Mishnah says, you added three kabin. So, which is great for Abaye, but that's difficult for Rava. So the Gemara says, lo, sa'ah. So the Gemara says, no, we're talking about, in the second case of the Mishnah, you added a full sa'ah. So you equalize the weight, and you added a bulk. V'ahala ketani v'kama yosef v'amaso v'yechayev sim chazor me'mishum rameir sa'la gamal shosh kabin l'chamor. Yeah, but the Mishnah does not talk about a full sa'ah. The Mishnah is talking about just three kabin, half of a sa'ah. So hachi kamar, the Gemara says, this is what it means. Hech deloshani chitim, vehevi chitim, sarim vehevi sarim, kam yosef amaso v'yechayev, sim chazor me'mishum rameir, samar l'gamal shoshim kam l'chamor. Then the Gemara spells out that if you're Rava, the last case of the Mishnah was talking about where you didn't make a substitution. You kept the wheat, or you kept the barley, and now you added more. How much more addition is going to make it disqualifying the rental agreement? And the answer is just three kabin. Okay, so I'll just quickly summarize. So according to Rava, Rava is, I guess you could say, the bigger Chiddush. According to Rava, extra bulk, according to Rava, is in of itself not enough. It has to be, according to Rava, extra bulk and the weight being equal. How do you get there? By adding a full saw of barley. That gets you, that equalizes the weight, and that will get you the extra bulk. But just extra bulk by itself is not going to disqualify the rental agreement. Masha Enkin, according to Abaye, even just extra bulk, even though you haven't increased the weight, so you took out the wheat, you took out the 15 saw of wheat, you replaced it with 15 saw of barley, you added another 3 kabin on top of that, you added bulk but not weight, according to Abaye, that's going to disqualify. Tashma. We're on the very bottom of the Amud. Amud Aleph. La'avi lasechitim ve'evi sheish esrei sa'orim chayef. So the Bryce over here talks about, in order to disqualify, you must add a full sa'ah. A full sa'ah in order to disqualify. So that means that this Bryce is now presuming that in order for disqualification, you have to equalize the weight and you have to add the bulk. So the Gemara says, "Hashlosha kabin potter." But if it's three kabin, it's going to be potter. So this is going to be supportive of Rava's position. So the Gemara says, "Tigrama Abaye b'michita." So Abaye will say, "Well, maybe we can make the following argument. You know, when they measured, so there were basically three forms of measurements. Meaning, the measuring cup was standard, but in terms of how you measured, so either it was level, which is called mechukos, it was." Liberal, which means that basically we went a little bit over the top. That's called tefufa. And then there is heaping, which is called gedusha. When they measured in volume, so generally speaking, they went option two, which is that they didn't level off the top. They allowed for a little bump in the measuring cup. So what Abaye now suggests is that maybe the Bryce over here was talking about 16 sa'ah of barley, but it was actually leveled out. So 16 really comes out to 15 and a half. Okay. Rashi offers that as one of the pshatim in the Gemara. Actually, that's the one that Rashi prefers. Rashi does give another pshat in the Gemara, quoting the name of the Gaonim, but we're, for our purposes right now, we'll stay with that pshat. Tanu Rabbanan. We are in the second line on payment base. Kav lekatef. Adriv la'areva, and I'm sorry, kav lekatef, adriv la'areva, and kor lesfina, shloshes karon leborni gedola. We're talking about maximum loads. Maximum loads for people, for small boats, for mid-sized boats, and for large boats. Now, remember our numbers. Our numbers are 1 to 30, meaning once you exceed the limit by a ratio of 1 to 30, so that is going to be disqualification of the contract because you went over the limit. So let's take the first one. Kav lekatev. When you're talking about a person carrying a load, once you put one kav extra, so now you have exceeded the limit. Now remember, the ratio is 1 to 30. So if it's 1 to 30, so if one kav is an exceeding of the limit, so that means what was the limit? This one's easy. The limit's 30, meaning a person's normally expected to be able to hold 30 kabin. So if I hire a person to carry for me 30 kabin and I put 31 on top of him, so that is going to be a breach of contract. I exceeded the limit, and he'll have a financial claim against me. Okay, and then the numbers all you do is work out the numbers for everything else. For the small boat, for the Areva, so there it's an Adriv. So 15 saw is the number of saw where you of exceeding the limit. So again, we're just working backwards over here. So if 15 saw is the excess, so the standard limit for a small boat is 15 kor. Kor lesfina. Now we're talking about a mid-sized boat. So kor is a number that exceeds the limit. So if kor is the number of excess, so what is the standard? Standard is 30 kor. So in other words, you can load up, if you're renting a boat and you load up 30 kor, you're good. You load up 30 plus a little bit more, you're also good. Once you put an additional kor on the boat, so now you have disqualified the rental agreement. You are now no longer entitled to pay. And presumably, by the way, I mean, the Gemara doesn't spell this out, but if there's damage, you're going to have to pay for that as well. Shloshes karm leborni, gedola. Now, for a large boat, so its limit is 30 kor, and so that means then that, I'm sorry, its exceeding is 30 kor. So the so that means that its limit was 90 kor. So the Gemara says, Leborni Gedola. Amramar Kavla Katef, Imisa Delamatsi Bay, Bardasu Lishje. The Gemara over here has a really simple question. I can understand that if you overload a boat or a donkey, so then you're going to be penalized because they are objects that don't have dea. They don't have no thought whatsoever. So any breakage that comes as a result of that, you're going to be held liable for. But let's say you hire a person and you load him and you overload him. You know what the person should do at that point in time? He should feel the difference in weight, and he should throw it down. And so why are you going to be held liable if you overloaded the person? Gemara is going to give a number of answers. Amar Abaye b'shechav to lauter. Well, it could be that the person collapsed immediately, didn't have a chance to throw it down. Rav Amar afilu tema b'shlochav to lauter l'tzricha l'la agri yaseira. Maybe he didn't throw it down, but because you exceeded the limit, and even though there's a general agreed amount that is paid for the person, but once you overload it, so he can now make a claim that you owe me more. Rav Ashi Amar hu saver chul shehu denakelei. And Rav Ashi said, and I could so see the egotistical man saying this, I can handle this, right? Oh, what about the fact that I'm faint right now? I got this. But meanwhile he doesn't, and because you overloaded him, because you overburdened him, so then you're going to be held responsible. Corliss finished. Let's just cover the burning gadol. I'm a rapapish. My minas tam sfinos. About Tilson Corin. Now, if you're buying a mid-sized boat, what is the weight limit that it should be able to accept? So 30 kor. Like we pointed out, meaning one kor is the excess, and the ratio is 1 to 30, so that means that it should be able to hold 30 kor. And that means that if you sell a mid-sized boat, it should be able to hold 30 kor of wheat and barley. And if it doesn't, so then it avoids the sale. Okay. All right. Tomorrow we'll start with the Mishnah. Okay, just a quick recap. We finished the rental agreements regarding the boat. We talked about what is generally assumed and understood by rental agreements when using the boat for delivery, when using the boat for purpose of riding. What could you bring? What kind of carry-on items can you bring on the donkey? What can the driver bring on the donkey? Okay, that was the end of yesterday's daf. We started today's daf. We talked about contractual agreement to rent a a cow for the purposes of plowing, and you're hiring and you're renting the equipment and you're hiring and the people working it as well. So as long as you do not make an inferior deviation from the contractual agreement, from the rental agreement, so you're in the clear. And then the Gemara had a discussion of the two people handling the animal, the driver and the person in the back holding the plow, which one of them are going to be liable. We talked about giving too much information and bad information when you are renting an item, and we learned today that that's not good. Giving, even though you quote unquote covered your bases, but if you're giving bad information, that's considered mekachtos. And then finally, we talked about how is bulk taken into consideration in terms of going over bulk and over weight limit. So machlokes between Abaye and Rava, whether or not if you exceed bulk but you don't match weight, is that going to be a disqualification of the rental agreement? Abaye said yes. Rava says no. Then you read the Mishnah differently for Abaye and for Rava, and that is what we learned today.